Rebuilding trust between Stormont's two main parties is going to take an incredibly long time, according to the DUP and its leader, Arlene Foster. She said Sinn Féin's behaviour after talks to restore power sharing in Northern Ireland collapsed in February was quite disgraceful.
Well, I think their behaviour after the breakdown of talks in February was quite disgraceful. Quite disgraceful. It had never happened before in any talks process that I have been involved with, and I've been around a lot of talks processes. They give out position papers, try to sell them as the agreement.
Well, Sinn Féin claimed on Thursday that the government's Westminster deal with the DUP was the greatest obstacle to restoring devolution at Stormont.
I believe that the British government are prioritising their supply and confidence deal over getting the institutions up and running here in the north, and therein lies the greatest obstacle to get the institutions back up and running and to have an executive that's functioning for all of our citizens. It's very clear the public want these institutions to work, but they have to work for all citizens.
Alex Kane, the commentator with us this morning. Morning to you, Alex.
Morning, Stephen.
My goodness, the blame game continues in Northern Ireland. Meanwhile, first half of this programme, every line in the building was jammed with people around this country concerned about the health service, and that's just one issue.
And one issue, and probably the main issue, education is another one, Stephen. But you're right. I mean, and you and I had this conversation over a year ago. I heard Nick, what he was saying earlier as well. There are ways that this could be dealt with. There was the Assembly, even when it was sitting, had ways of getting an all-party committee to look very specifically at the health recommendations, how they do it. Can they? It must be possible. I'm sorry, Stephen. Cancer doesn't give a stuff. Whether you're Protestant, Catholic, Unionist, it doesn't matter. None of these diseases do. It must be possible. For a coalition government, when they had all five in, it must have been possible to sit them down and say, what can we collectively do to make sure health is working? They couldn't do that, Stephen. They didn't do that. They'll blame each other. Each of them will say, oh, we had a plan. They didn't do it. It didn't happen when Sinn Féin and the DUP were in together. We didn't get it. And that's a failing. People say, oh, we need a government up and running. We have to bear in mind, Stephen, I'd like to see it up and running, but we have to bear in mind that it failed to make some of the biggest socio-economic decisions ever. And where we are now with what Arlene was saying yesterday, what Michelle was saying yesterday, it's the same old blame game. And it's not going to change. But the important thing is Michelle O'Neill says everybody wants it up. Maybe they want it up, but each side wants it up for their own reasons. They have a mandate for this impasse, Stephen. This is not Sinn Féin and the DUP going wild here or going rogue and ignoring public opinion. Their voters have voted for them to keep the positions they have now.
I keep on hearing over recent times, you know, people at the centre of politics in Northern Ireland, commentators, my goodness, some politicians saying to me, oh, it's nowhere close to coming back. It's nowhere close. The British government's just going to sit now and watch this drift. But I'm sorry, do the people of Northern Ireland realise what this means for our lives here?
Yes, they do. First of all, in the sense, if you ask me a very specific question, is a deal doable tomorrow, Alex? Yes, it is doable tomorrow. They could do it fairly quickly. If you ask me the second question of that, would it be a consensual, stable, genuinely power-sharing government in which the parties collectively look at the key issues in Northern Ireland? No, it wouldn't be that. And that's why commentators like myself say we are a long way away from that sort of government. We're in the sense of the trust with which Arlene Foster were talking about yesterday and Sinn Féin. There is no trust. They will blame each other. People say, oh, commentators like us, oh, you're saying that everyone's responsible. In one sense, everyone, the public, all of us are responsible, Stephen. But the fact is, at this stage, I cannot for the life of me conceive, even if Theresa May didn't need the DUP to prop up her government, I cannot conceive of a situation in which the Sinn Féin and the DUP anytime soon can actually stand and credibly say to the public, yes, we have a deal that we're happy to stand over and it'll work. I just don't see that happening.
Alison Morris from the Irish News. This is going to drift and drift, Alison. To what price?
Well, it's not going to be any time this year. I can't see there being a deal any time before Christmas. But the language that was used yesterday, we know in the DUP came out of those meetings with the Secretary of State, they were talking about the confidence and supply deal rather than getting the Assembly back up and running. And they also mentioned the mistrust that still exists between themselves and Sinn Féin. Arlene Foster pointed to the fact that a lot of the details of those negotiations in February were leaked. But, I mean, the DUP themselves have to bear responsibility for walking away from those talks. You know, they could have at any point said to Sinn Féin, this isn't going to work, we're not going to be able to sell this deal, let's go back in and renegotiate rather than just walk away. And I think that that has left a sour taste in many people's mouths. But also what Alec has said is right. There was no major legislation passed in those 10 years of government. And although we do say that things are drifting and we know that there's reforms need put in place and people who work in the voluntary sector are suffering, for ordinary people on the street, they're not particularly noticing a great difference whether storming's up and running or not. And that's why we're not seeing people taken to the streets. That's not why we're not seeing more public outrage than you would have had when we had these situations in the past.
I don't want to forget, so I'm going to do it now, to ask you both for a reaction to what Lady Sylvia Herman said in the House of Commons yesterday. She said a hard Irish border after Brexit will see the return of violence to Northern Ireland. Now, that's such a stark comment. Ian Paisley Jr., Ian Paisley, the DUP politician I see, describing this as very dangerous talk from Lady Sylvia. The former Conservative Chancellor, Ken Clark, he told the debate it was obvious no one had considered the Good Friday Agreement during the referendum debate. Alex Kane, in a nutshell, do you think the hard border issue could potentially bring violence back onto the streets of Northern Ireland?
I think in one sense, and I don't want to over-egg this, Stephen, because the point has been made by George Mitchell, John Major, Sylvia Herman and other people. Once you significantly change the dynamics in anything, then something that which didn't seem likely earlier becomes a possibility. So, yes, I think it's unlikely in the short term. But if, as a result of the Brexit deal, there is a hard border, if as a result of the hard border, the relationship between Dublin and Belfast and between the internal parties gets even more toxic than it is now, then yes, it is possible that some fringes on both sides could just go, this isn't working, peace isn't working tomorrow. We don't know, Stephen. Can't be ruled out. I think, as I say, in the short term it's unlikely, and I think there will still be, I think in a year's time, this will still be a much softer landing than anyone is predicting.
Alison Morris, do you think violence could come back over Brexit?
I'm a security journalist. I speak to these people all the time, people who would be involved with distant Republicans or French Republicans. There is no appetite for mass violence, as we've seen during the Troubles. But the thing is, if you put an infrastructure at the border of any kind, you are going to, I would think, see some sort of civil unrest and that infrastructure being removed. You're also going to have to put personnel at the border, which, should you have anyone who wants to involve themselves in violence, creates a target, if you like, at the border. But what it also does is it takes a new generation and politicises them, and people who have lived along that border, who have been born in the last 20 years, are used to crossing back and forward without any physical infrastructure. And if you were to put any kind of border there, it would mean that those young people would be brought up in a very different environment and one very similar to during the Troubles and during the 70s and 80s. That's not a good thing.